Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Rolene, welcome to the show as always. Rolene, we've got more serious things to chat about, and it's just become so complex, and it seems so complicated. And I don't understand why the Middle East is so complicated. And now we've got this mess in Afghanistan thrown in. I don't know. You wanted to chat today about the fact that it's now coming out that there may even be executions taking place.
Well, this is something that we have been expecting with the takeover of the Taliban. We've all been watching with absolute horror at the situation in Afghanistan, what it entails, just how quickly the Taliban were able to take over the whole country, barring one province. We know from the history with the Taliban, despite a very, very slick media campaign that they are embarking on, going onto the foreign media, having an English spokesperson saying, you know, we have changed, we want international recognition, we're going to show respect to everybody, we're going to be inclusive, of course, for women, you know, it's basically going to be kumbaya, and we're going to braid each other's hair, but we know what we are dealing with the Taliban, and they are anything but Taliban 2.0. In fact, reports coming in from extremely brave journalists and people who are managing to record the situation on the ground, managing to get that out to the mainstream media, and of course many of us who are active on social media, exactly what is happening on the streets. We know news in from the last couple of hours that the Taliban have said absolutely no extension beyond the 31st of August for evacuations. A lot of blame from the left, the right, and everybody in between levels at US President Biden for the calamitous way that he has withdrawn US troops, leaving effectively many civilians behind enemy lines as the Taliban encroach further and further and become more and more of a presence. News coming in a little while ago that they were trying to prevent people from reaching Kabul airport. It's extremely important they get there. Moving stories coming in of organizations such as Operation Ark trying to evacuate pets and vets, animals and the vets that take care of them, out of Afghanistan. The comedian Ricky Gervais taking to Twitter, a harrowing story of a Afghani TikTok star who was summarily executed because he has, in essence, poked fun at the Taliban. If that doesn't tell you. And now the Human Rights Council, which in an extraordinary turn of events, Afghanistan was actually voted onto the UNHRC. This is, of course, before the swarming of the country by the Taliban. And if all things go according to the vote, the Afghanistan assume a position on the UNHRC in 2025. And if the Taliban are still in power, they effectively will represent Afghanistan on that council. But the UN Human Rights Office of the United Nations have issued a statement just this morning saying that they are demanding with immediate effect the release without charge of prisoners, and called on the government to respect and protect the rights of anybody who has been held by the Taliban, to stop the summary executions of civilians and restrictions on women and protests against their rule. This is Michelle Bachelet. She is the UN Human Rights Council chief. She says a fundamental red line will be the Taliban's treatment of women and girls. There are grave fears for women, for journalists, and for the new generation of civil society leaders who have emerged in the past years. Afghanistan's diverse ethnic and religious minorities, including all of one Jewish person, are also at risk of violence and repression given previous patterns of serious violations under Taliban rules and reports of killing and targeted attacks in recent months. We've seen these reports coming in just how badly women and young girls are being treated. We have heard accounts of rape squads going house to house. We've heard of accounts of families having to hand over their young daughters to Taliban. The press are calling them insurgents. We'll call them what they are, terrorists, and a real, real grave fear for the future of anybody who is who stands up or who is seen as counter to the Taliban ideology.
Really, let's go to Israel. You spoke to us about the arson balloons that had been sent over the border. Israel has struck back.
Yes, the IDF last night striking targets within the Gaza Strip, of course, with the aid of the Israeli Air Force. We know targets including weapons storage, the opening of a tunnel, a rocket launcher that's perilously close to an UNRWA school have been struck. Israel maintains a zero policy on incendiary balloons. These are balloons that are sent in over the border. Very deceptive looking because young kids seeing these balloons think they are toys, rush out to try and grab them. Unfortunately, for all concerned, they have Molotov cocktails, they have incendiary devices attached and set fire to thousands of dunams of very, very valuable land. So the latest that we do have reported in today is that with the help of Egypt, Hamas have agreed to stop sending in incendiary balloons.
We're running out of time, but we'd love to hear what's happening in respect of the COVID situation and the three jabs that may come into play in Israel.
Well, the three jabs are underway. I've had my third jabby. It was announced today that anyone from the age of 30 and up is eligible to go have their third jab. We've had some good news coming in from our finance minister, Avigdor Lieberman. He says that if the vaccination rates continue to climb, and they are, he says there may not be a need for green and purple passes that limit crowding and the amount of people allowed in to places and events, and the non-vaccinated. He says there will not be a lockdown during the upcoming high holiday period either. Very, very good news for Israelis. Our numbers have been high, but early data is predicting that we could see a significant downturn as the third jab seems to prevent further infections from the Delta variant.
And with just 2 minutes to go, just let us know what's happening with respect to the strange and sudden decision by the Palestinian Authority to arrest protesters.
Well, a strange and sudden decision by people who normally object to human rights and transgressions and social worries are very, very quiet about the fact that over the last couple of days, some 30 anti-Palestinian Authority protesters have been rounded up and arrested by Palestinian security forces. These are protesters who are protesting the suspicious death in custody of activist Nizar Bahat. He was arrested and died during the intake of custody. They are calling for a bus to step down. Earlier today, the Foreign Press Association castigated the Palestinian Authority and their security forces for harassing and threatening journalists from the Washington Post. These are foreign journalists who were interviewing protesters, who were asking why people were being arrested, and for criticizing the clampdown by the Palestinian Authority. So you would think people with an interest in democracy would be calling for the release of these protesters that have been arrested. But, Chad, I don't know, maybe it's just me. They're very, very quiet. They haven't said a word.
Rolly Marks, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be chatting to you same time tomorrow afternoon.